Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
You try to look at both theories here and go, what are the odds that the CVS pharmacy worker is going out for a walk and he just randomly decides to kill two young girls on that walk, which he voluntarily said he was on and where he was, which he didn't have to do? Or was it these Odinists that happened to randomly catch these two girls and they think in the spur of the moment, let's have a sacrifice? Neither seem very likely.
I agree with you. Out of all the big cases, if you will, that everyone is following in true crime, this case, the Delphi case, is the one that's just most concerning to me in terms of the facts that they have and, of course, how they've locked him up. You know, I don't agree with that. I just want everybody treated the same. But the lone bullet, and using those tool markings to connect him when, first of all, tool mark evidence is a bit of a pseudoscience.
Sure.
It's not exact. You know, it's just not, because every gun has a lot of the extractor and ejector marks that are similar if it's from the same gun. And this wasn't ejected automatically through the cycling of a gun when you shoot. It was extracted manually, which means it's a light extraction compared to the force that's generated when a gun fires. So you have all of that into play, and that's just going to be two experts going, you know, head to head on whether those little scratches definitely match the scratches that are put on another casing that's ejected. So I really, that's the crux of their case, Tony. He put himself there early on when the crime happened. He put himself there again. Now, why was this guy even there? It seems to me that a lot of people go there for some reason. They like it. It's a park. They walk around. It's just odd, though, that he would just go there, as you say, and just happen upon these two girls and, you know, viciously murder them with a knife.
Yeah. It doesn't add up, especially this guy's history. There isn't much of anything. It's just nothing seems to add up. The other thing that I think they're going to have a very hard time getting around now, and it seemed they kind of have some reasoning here if you're to believe the Odinistic document, is the confession that he made to his wife. Was that under duress? And if you're going to believe that it was under duress, then you kind of got to go along with some of the Odinistic stuff, because that's how that was phrased. How do you think they're going to play that or just continue to go down this Odin road?
Well, the confessions that he made, and there were apparently five, both to his wife and to his mother, to me, though, that's going to be the crux of the case now.
Yeah.
Really, that's what they have. But Tony, did those confessions bring in information previously unknown? In other words, does he provide corroborative information, or is he exacerbated, right? Look at me in here. I killed him. You know, is it something like that? So it's going to be very interesting to hear what he said. But you're right. The whole crux of it is this pressure that was put on him by these Odinistic, you know, guards, if you will. It's salacious. All I know is when you look at him and imagining going from the CVS pharmacy, having a very normal life, you know, having potato chips and brats and beers at the bar with your wife every Friday night, and then living in a 3x2 house, you know, and now going into a cell that's 9x12, stuck in there for, you know, 23 hours a day. I mean, it would make anyone that's had a normal life their whole life, you know, it would have a huge detrimental effect.
I mean, I would think that would also possibly elicit a false confession for somebody that's just gotten to the point of feeling mad. And if that's the only way to get out of that situation, I'll say whatever you want me to say just to escape that sort of hell that he must be in. I mean, could that also be part of it too? And people are in those sort of situations and under duress that false confessions come out?
Absolutely. And they come out even not under duress, but certainly under duress, they come out. And, you know, the whole thing is they've put themselves in this hole, right, Tony, by having him in these conditions.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see. It's just has to be entertained. I'm so on the fence on this one. I'm 50%, you know, it could be him, and 50%. It couldn't be him. I'm so on the fence on this one.
It's a hard one. If it is him, I'm amazed by how the treatment is right now. And I'm really thinking that it's going to not be in the prosecution's best interest should they convict him. And on appeal, I think all of these factors are going to come into play very strongly.
You're consuming the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.